Blog Talk Radio.
How to do this show? We on?
Yeah, I think we still got this. This is the right way to do it, I think. We on air?
I think so.
Been a long time.
Need somebody to call in and tell us we're live, man. Give us This is the calling.
We might be just here talking ourselves. We don't even realize.
Exactly. 215-383-3872. Last call for alcohol. I mean, for the number. 215-383-3872. Wow.
Glad you told me the last call of alcohol. I mean, I can put this Mountain Dew down.
And then put that Mountain Dew down, bro.
Ladies
and gentlemen, welcome to the Brothers Career Radio Show, man. Live again. How long has it been? You've been texting me saying, man, when you guys aren't live, I don't listen. That's the word on the street, Robert. You just tell me straight to my face, straight up to my face. If you're not live, I don't. Is that Robert?
They don't just say it behind your back.
Not behind my back, man. They straight up in my face. This is not, they keep telling me y'all are not Stanford and Son. You don't watch the reruns.
We're not that good, huh?
You're not good time.
We gotta work a little harder to get folks to listen to the reruns.
You're not Columbo.
Alright, well, we better go live then.
Got some catching up to do,
guys.
Yeah,
we gotta go live.
Yeah, we got some catching up to do, man.
Yeah, man.
A lot been going on, man. Scared of that.
We gotta go live to catch up with all the stuff that's been going on. That's the one reason we have to go live.
We've been singing and dancing and riding the Mississippi and
hauling water all over the place.
And that was a lot of water. I quit drinking water since I've been back. I haven't had any water since I've been back from Mississippi. Too much water.
Yeah, too much water. Too much water, huh?
It was too much water. Just why, hey, ladies and gentlemen, let me make this announcement real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reporting live tonight from Gatewood Insurance, Charlotte, North Carolina. Give me a big round of applause, please.
Hold on. Where's the crowd? Hey, crowd, you hear that?
There we go.
Okay.
Wow, slow down. Hey,
the
studio audience is slow tonight. Hey,
yeah,
Joe.
Man, they were a little slow. They were distracted.
Mm-hmm. Got Joseph in the house, of course, because we're at his studio here, his office in Charlotte. Joseph? We can't hear you, man.
Joseph must be writing up some insurance over there.
No, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had you on mute, man. I apologize.
You had yourself on mute. Oh. You didn't hear me on mute. You had yourself on mute.
Yeah, I had myself on mute. Y'all couldn't hear me. How y'all doing tonight, brothers?
Doing great, brother.
Wonderful.
Doing good, man. We're up here in Charlotte. We're bracing for Hurricane. What is it? What's it? Hurricane Ion?
I don't know. Which hurricane?
Ion. Hey, Joe, you're not in Florida. How you going to have a hurricane?
Well, they've been talking about it up here. You know what I'm saying? Can't write any more insurance on homeowners insurance.
What?
Looks like we got somebody calling in. Let me check over here.
I got a hand up over there. But, Joe,
yeah.
Is the hurricane going to be, are you all going to be affected by the hurricane in Charlotte? That's the question.
We'll probably get some rain. They're talking about it's going to rain from Friday all the way to Tuesday.
But how is that going to affect your insurance business?
Well, you know, like anytime there's a storm warning,
right.
They bind they restrict our binding authority.
Even in Charlotte.
Yeah, we've had binding authority restricted in Charlotte several times. Anytime there's any possibility of any type of major storm coming this way, the insurance company they suspend binding authority, particularly on. on homeowners insurance.
Suppose you were in Boston, Massachusetts. Would they still restrict you?
Well, even some areas in North Carolina, you know, the further you are inland, you know, just like face of somebody up there near Tennessee, you know, way away from the coast, they probably wouldn't do that. But the closer you are to the coast, the more likely they are to suspend your binding authority.
Now, that's something I did not know. That's why you have to listen to this show. If there's a Hurricane Ian in Florida, your binding authority is limited in North Carolina. Man,
I don't care if his name is Ian or Leon. You cannot buy insurance.
Doesn't matter. Okay. Or Dion, like Dion Sanders.
That's right. Especially to Dion.
All right. Especially to Dion.
Yeah, man. So this is Joseph. Let's talk just a little bit more about the insurance thing, man. There are also some incidents where you can't buy life insurance at the last hour.
Well, a lot of people fail to understand that. Well, first of all, the insurance is their business to make a profit. And, of course, anytime they see any type of immediate potential for a claim, they are going to not offer coverage. You know, a lot of people, they wait till they have some type of sickness or illness, and then they start shopping for insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And in most instances, that's too late. Insurance is a product that you have to already have it when you need it. You can't wait till you need it to go try to get it. If you think there's a potential for loss, the insurance company has already figured out that there will be a loss. So they're going to be thinking ahead of you. So you can't wait till, just like a lady called me earlier today, and she came right out and said, I need to get me some rental insurance because the hurricane is coming this way. I said, well,
I know better than that.
You know the insurance company. I said, you know. I said, now, you know, if you know that, the insurance company knows that.
I'm talking about. She should know better than that. Come on.
But Robert, you'd be surprised at the people that don't. People call me about life insurance and their parents are in the hospital on life support.
That's like, look, man, I just ran head on into this car. I'm just calling to get me some auto insurance while I got you on the line here.
They'll do that.
No.
Hey, Rob.
If you left.
Rob, the only reason I know better is because I tried the same thing.
Okay, all right. We have a witness.
Yeah, people have tried it. They wait till their parents or their mom is already in the hospital, think they can go buy life insurance. Somebody will tell them they're going to come by there and destroy their car. They're going to damage their vehicle. They're calling to me. I need to get some insurance because somebody told me they're going to come out and vandalize my car tonight. I said, don't tell me.
I'm going to say, if they didn't tell you that, you might write them, right?
Exactly right. If they didn't tell me, I wouldn't write it. I might well write them because I don't know. I'm just thinking all of a sudden they want some coverage on the car. But don't call me and tell me that. I think somebody getting ready to vandalize my car. I need some insurance.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. That is valuable information coming from right here at Gatewood Insurance in Charlotte, North Carolina. Sounds commonsensical, but hey, you never know. All right. We do have a call on the line, brother. We do have a call. Hey, Curtis Gatewood is joining in. Curtis, how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, Gatewood brothers, how y'all doing?
Going great,
hey,
man.
How you doing?
You doing guys still high off the Lord, high off the praise, high off being in your father's church on September 4th and just letting the Lord just show you off and show you the way? I mean, are y'all still feeling that?
You scared me,
yes,
man.
Sir.
I thought you could see in this office.
Man. Say what?
Never mind.
He's saying yeah. He said yes.
Still high, brother.
Let me add something to some information that people really need, because me and my wife were on our way to walk. And
well,
I just want to share, I want to reiterate some information that I've become very conscious of over the last month. And I just want to share the good news that God allowed me to become conscious, but it doesn't have to happen the same way that it happened to me. I ended up in the hospital. But I want to tell people that are like my brothers here and others who are listening, you don't have to pay the price that some of us have paid. Watch your sodium intake. If you will look at the label of what you are buying in the grocery stores, even stuff that seems healthy, like a packaged salad, you'll be surprised sometimes if you look on the back and see the sodium, the milligrams of sodium that would be in a part of that food. And that sodium is a salt. It's very bad for your heart. It's bad for your blood pressure. It's bad for so many things. And what you want to do is minimize your sodium intake and your sugar intake. Of course, sugar would, of course, lead to diabetes and a whole lot of other problems. But I just want to just spread the news, people. You know, try to minimize your sodium intake. The doctor told me that I probably should try to keep it between 1,500 to 2,000 milligrams per day. Of course, that still seems high, but you'll be surprised. Sometimes people are eating a sandwich or one of those fast food dinners or those box dinners that you go buy at this grocery store to keep from cooking, and you probably got 2,000 milligrams of sodium right there. So we're just saying to you, people, love yourself, take care of yourself, because I tell you one thing, people are dying a lot sooner now because of the fact we are not producing our own food anymore. We can't go to the garden, maybe Leon can, maybe some people still left, my brother JC and other folk who are still gardening. But for the most part, in general, most people will not go out in the garden and get their, you know, cabbages and salad and collards and tomatoes and cucumbers. They're going to get it from a corporate supplier. And the corporate supplier more than likely is going to put sodium, inject chemicals and everything else, and we're doing less exercising. And that, I'm not even getting to the fast food that we're eating. And that's just an altogether different conversation. But I'm saying, people, take care of yourselves. Be conscious of what's going on. People are dying at age 40, 30, having heart attacks. And the reason why is because we are eating fast food. Our sodium intake is terrible. We're drinking tea and sodas instead of water. And it's going to catch up with us. And let's not let it take us prematurely to the grave.
Amen.
That's my little thing.
Amen, brother. That scared me.
Wow.
That scared me, man, because I was, I know I eat a lot of salt, man. Because I like garlic salt, and I know there's a lot of salt in garlic salt. You know what I mean? It's garlic salt.
Yeah.
It's salt. Anyway.
Yeah, well, just look on the back of it and see how much sodium it has.
And I like nails.
Say what?
There you go. I like nails, man.
I can assure you, like I said, everything, everybody, listen, whatever you're getting ready to eat, look at the sodium intake. And I can assure you, I would say by the least amount, even when you're doing spaghetti and stuff that, you know, you just normally don't think about, compare the sodium in the sauce. Sometimes the spaghetti sauce can vary in the amount of sodium it has. Some might be 500 milligrams. You might be able to find some at 260 or maybe 130 like I found the other day. So I'm just saying, do everything you can to reduce your sodium intake.
Amen, brother.
Man, what about a bag of potato chips?
Uh-oh.
bag of potato chips. Watch the sodium, turn it over, look at the back. And then there's another trick that Odessa, my wife, tells me about. Look and see, even when they tell you how much sodium is in that particular thing, see what a serving system. Because they might say the sodium intake for this bag of cookies is maybe 380 milligrams, but they're talking about two cookies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what their serving size is.
Right.
So 20 cookies in the bag. You eat the whole bag thinking you're only getting 300 milligrams.
Exactly.
10 times
the serving size. We won't talk about the whole bag. When you eat, you know, your whole can or whatever, your whole can of pork and beans, you know. So, this thing is serious.
Robin and Curtis, Robin, since you asked, I just so happened to have one serving of classic potato chips here.
Okay.
And
how much?
Sodium is 170 milligrams.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, right?
And serving size?
This is one container, one package of...
One chip. You said one chip.
1 ounce.
Yeah, it said 100 how many?
170 milligrams.
See? If that bag of chips might be okay if you don't eat a whole lot of other stuff with high volumes of, you know, sodium elsewhere. You know, don't go out and get a lasagna out of the box that the lasagna has, you know, 2,000 milligrams of sodium in it, you know.
Don't eat it with a foot long.
Or hot dogs.
Don't eat it with a foot long.
There you go. Don't eat it with a foot long hot dog. And, you know,
a bag of peanuts on the side.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brothers for Real radio show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. We do have a caller on the line. Very special young lady, in my opinion. This author, A-U-T-H-O-R, Deja Rivers, just made this amazing little book, God Is My Friend. It's an amazing little book, man. I'm trying to tell you. I read that book, and I just felt like God was my friend. Deja, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Hey, Deja.
Deja.
Y'all going to be really excited when you realize who Deja is, who her family is. But Deja, how you doing? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what's going on with yourself. Anyway, before you get into that, you're on the Brothers for Real radio show. You are in the company of Leon Gatewood, Robert Gatewood, Curtis Gatewood, and Joseph Gatewood, of all of whom are very proud of you and supportive. Just need you to know that.
I appreciate that.
And we also, your homeboys. We all grew up right there with your parents, your grandparents, stuff like that. Okay. Now tell us who you are so they'll know.
All right. Well, my name is Deja Rivers. I'm originally from Lyesville. You probably know my parents. My dad is Ricky Rivers, and my mom is Thomasina Rivers. Thomasina Rivers, originally from 52 of Waysboro.
Thomasina, Richmond Street.
Thomasina Little, man.
Ain't that Richmond Street?
Yes.
Didn't they live on Richmond Street?
Yes. Grandpa, great-grandpa, too, right?
Oh, yeah, Jerry. Yes, Jerry Little.
Right.
Oh, yep. Yes,
there
that's my,
go.
Oh, yeah, y'all
yeah,
know
like
my
kids.
Parents.
You like kids.
Yeah,
like kids.
Yeah. We do. We do know them. And we're glad to have you on the radio.
Mr. Jerry built the front on built the store on our house.
Yeah, that was Daddy's handyman.
That was Daddy's man. He did it all. Okay, Deja, we're sorry.
Yeah, he did. Okay, so it's been 30 days this past Monday, May 30th since I published my children's book as a boy version and a girl version. I did that on purpose. I wanted every little girl to be able to relate to the character in the book. So that's why I can hang over and be two books. And the book is to help kids to speak positive of themselves. It's a Christian book, so positive affirmations that was in the Bible. What the Lord spoke to us, he already said what we are. So the book is to help kids to claim what the Lord says, not to go out here in the world and they adapt to what the world tells them. Because reality is, no matter how good of a parent we are to our kids, they are going to go outside of our boundaries, whether it's school, daycare, neighbors. They're going to encounter somebody. They're going to tell them what they are not.
Amen.
So that's why I want a book like this to be at every child's fingertips, on their bookshelf, next to their favorite toy or whatever, just somewhere they can grab and to remind them who they are. Because we all need that. Yes, we all need that. So at the beginning, we have the affirmations. And then towards the back, I have the negative emotions. And negative emotions is what children experience, so as us adults. And as they read the book, they'll learn to lean towards God when they're experiencing the negative emotions. So for like sad, lonely, they'll realize that they can go to the Lord about it. So that's the main goal of this book. It's for kids to realize that there's somebody outside of their parents, outside of their best friend, the classmates, or any family member that shows them love every day. There is someone that they may not see, but he's very, very close to them. So, yeah, that's the whole point of the book, just to help kids to, you know, be closer to the Lord.
Well, Deja, I like to chime in, because if we ever needed a book like that, it is indeed right now. I can think of times in my upbringing, and even as I become as I became an adult, where I knew if I didn't have a certain grounding, like I got mine from my parents, who were very spiritual and just good parents. But everybody doesn't have that, so your book in some cases will serve as that surrogate. Because children now, based on emotion, they're based on peer pressure, they don't have that counterbalance to steer them in the right direction. So I think what you're doing is very timely, and I wish you much success. I think if the word gets out about this book and people realize that the impact it may have, I see a very bright future for your book and probably for other books to come.
Well, here's my thing. Those are my exact sentiments, Robert. So every opportunity I get, I just try to make sure people see this book, because I just think it's a great book. I think it is, like you just said, timely, something we need in times like these. There are so many influences, negative influence for young people. So you need something they can pick up. Something tangible they can pick up and say, okay, let me go back to my book. Or mama can say, here, man, read your book again. You got your food today. I mean, or something, you know. So I just think it's a great book. I do. Mm. Well, so what else is going on with you right now, Deja? Is book selling? Is it going up? Or what's the word? What's going on?
Oh, yes, it's definitely selling. It's selling really good. The book is on Amazon. On Amazon, of course, people's buying it from, got North Carolina, got Atlanta chiming in on it, New Jersey. So it's just people from different states that knows me, that has already bought the book, and they, you know, taking the book to work, showing to friends. So it's doing really good. For it to be my 30 days, it did better than I expected so far. So my next plan is to move to Charlotte with it.
Right.
It's going really, really well in Hanson.
Move where was
to
it?
Charlotte. Charlotte.
Okay.
So far as like events.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
What's your next event coming up?
I don't have a date as far as my, like, a event just for my book, but I am trying to do, like, vending areas for events that's already planned. So right now I'm trying to connect with the Soul of Taste. I think it's part of Charlotte, Taste of Charlotte.
Okay.
So right now I'm trying to do the 29th, trying to get a vending area for that for my books there. I will be at Morven's Fall Festival. That's on the October 8th. So I will be there. So, yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, get in where I can fit in, get my books out there. That's it.
Hey,
well,
I want to chime in as well. This is Curtis Gatewood, and it's Deja, right? Am I right? Deja?
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to give you my thoughts from a ministerial perspective because I'm in the ministry. Also, of course, I do a lot of community work, and I can piggyback off what my brothers are saying by just letting you know we are living in a time where it's almost uncool to be godly. It's almost uncool to be righteous. It's almost uncool to have common sense and do the right thing. So therefore, and what you're saying is right about no matter what parents do, oftentimes there's a period that children will go through. They will go from parent pressure to peer pressure. And so once they leave that parent pressure, they get into the peer pressure side. And that's what you're right about when they start meeting the various peers, and oftentimes the so-called popular peers are those that are doing the most wrong. They're doing, you know, sometimes they're doing drugs, sometimes they're a gang leader, they're gang members. And so if you did not have something that you can look to larger than society, larger than the community, larger than the peer, larger than the teacher, larger than the structure that we live in, you can become very discouraged, and you can succumb to the wrong pressure. So your book is very timely. It's been said. But at the same time, it's something that we need to help to rebuild what I refer to as the village. You know, the village produced, I think, my brothers and myself, when we were growing up on 52, Richmond Street, where we walked up to Richmond Street, we had a love village, and people connected with each other. It didn't have to be my parent. If my parent wasn't there, you know, Jerry or whomever the neighbor might have been would have looked out for us. And and it takes spirituality. It takes godliness to do that. And right now we just call the police, knowing that the police might come in and shoot you as soon as they arrive. But we don't have that godliness in our community. And that is what I think held the village together. And so your book can help to be that glue that we need as we continue to try to rebuild a village that can save us all. So thank you for writing that book. And I'm looking forward to getting my
book. Amen.
Okay.
All right, David, we're going to just say this, just tell everybody where they can get the book right quick and tell them how to get it and the different ways they can get it. I'm sure they want to know that, people listening. I know it's on Amazon.com and part of some other ways to get it, right?
Other than Amazon, just books on hand. I go to Anson quite often, especially on weekends, so catching me in Anson will be one way. Contacting me on social media, which is Deja Rivers, or Facebook, Instagram is Deja Rivers. As far as Amazon, I have the direct link for that, which is amazon.com/author/Deja-Rivers. So that's the direct author link for my Amazon page. That'll take you directly to the books.
And what's the name of the book again?
And say, Deja Rivers. D-A-I-G.
What's the name of the book?
God is my friend.
God is my friend.
Yes. Like I said, you have the boy version and you got the girl version. So you got the boy on the cover and then you got the girl on the cover.
And what's funny?
And what I was
saying is God is my friend. Is God is my friend a bold name for a book these days? Have a boy and a girl version.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, and the world changed.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of bold. Guys, we're gonna take a break. Thank you, Deja, for checking in on us. God bless you. Best wishes on your book. And we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back.
Yeah, keep up the great work.
3-8-3-8-7-2. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA. The blood of the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get outraged. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurting, practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek. Father, 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 help us. Some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love?
Where is the love? The love?
It just ain't the same. Always change.
I'm gonna let you know we're back. Welcome to the Brother For Real Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Don't forget, we just talked to Deja Rivers. Go out and support her and her book. And brothers, welcome back. What's been going
on?
With you,
let me just quickly say for Deja, in case she's still listening or she can tune back in, that the best way to move a book nowadays is to form partnerships and alliances, selling books one at a time. Yeah, I mean, it's going to give you a nice little hit to start off with, but you got to make those partnerships and have others sell that book for you. So instead of selling one person, you sell an organization or you sell some type of group that will actually move that book for you. So so you're selling it to that person who will sell it to their members.
Right.
And that is really, if you want to move books and keep building that momentum, then you got to sell to groups and organizations and let them move it among their members. That's the quickest way to get that book out there in the mass quantity.
Very good, very good. And you are speaking from experience.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have a pretty long list of success stories that have employed that tactic. And then other short, other easy ways, like going to meetups and things like that. But you got to just get your name in front of groups of people. And one book at a time, it might give you a nice and warm feeling. But to get that book, to reach critical mass, you got to sell it to the groups. That's not just information for Deja. That's for anybody who's listening, who's aspiring to be an author. That's just put that back in your think cap when you start trying to move that book.
All right. Now, let's talk about what Curtis came on the show talking about. Let's talk about New Hope Baptist Church and that experience we had in New Hope. Man, I was almost born again.
I believe I was, man. I can say, I'm not, this is really, if you look at the Isaiah, I think it's 40-30, I have to look at the actual number. But everybody's familiar with the scripture where it talks about waiting on the Lord and he'll renew your strength. He will mount up with wings as eagles. You would not be weary. You can run and not be weary. In other words, run on. See what it's going to be. Run on, not be weary, and walk and not faint. To me, that was a fulfillment of that day. It was like a renewed spirit for me. And I could just feel the wings being attached as the day went on. And so I just thank God for that day. And my spirit has been renewed. And I'm just excited. And I'm on a high that I'm not going to let anybody bring me down. I'm not going to let any devil bring me down off the high that I got on September 4, 2022. I was put on a high. And I didn't need a drug, didn't need the liquor. I'm high off the spirit that we received. And I can feel my parents' spirit. Robert, as you talking about my brothers, I could feel their spirit. I could just feel the family, the love, God the Almighty, and the community that loved us so. And I want to say to New Hope, I hope somebody is listening from you. We love you too. Thank you for the love you showed to us and our family. And we love you back.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, man. Let's talk about money.
Oh, boy. I'll start talking about money before money talk about money.
Talk about money.
And I'm going to echo what Curtis just said. There was something
absolutely.
Spirit. There was a spirit that moved. And if anybody questioned the Holy Spirit, that those doubts would have been dashed on September 4th, because
yep.
I heard things that had not been felt, heard before. And one of those things was Joe Gate leading that song, I Believe I'll Run On. Now, Joe can sing. We've had Joe sing a lot of our songs, as long as we've been Gateway Brothers. But Joe, there's something got in Joe like it got in Curtis and the rest of the brothers on that day. And I'm telling you, there was some magic. There was the spirit was in the house, and it was not taking any hostages. The spirit was, it was real.
Yep.
It was live, man. You guys, I'm proud to be you guys' brother that day. That was a very good experience for me. I think something different happened to me that day. I haven't quite figured it out yet, but maybe I will.
Hey, Leon, Leon.
Yes, sir.
I've had several people listening to your rendition of that He's All I Need, and they said, that's some confidence that we've never seen in Leon. You sung that song like it's never been sung. There was something going on that day. And just an FYI, anybody who wants to catch the full service, it's on. We have a YouTube channel now. It's Gatewood Brothers. Just go to YouTube and type in Gatewood Brothers, and you'll see our thumbnail of the Gatewood Brothers. Because there's another group out there also of the Gatewood Brothers. But ours is clearly us once you see it. The header. We actually wearing the outfit that we wore that day in the header of the channel. And we have Curtis's wonderful prayer. We'll be saying, I want you to move. And the brothers were singing in the background while Curtis gave that prayer that I've probably listened to 100 times. Of course, Joseph's signature song, I Believe I'll Run On, where the brothers are doing the shout. And then Leon doing the He's All I Need. And I even snuck in a halfway leading song. And, of course, Daniel
absolutely.
Producing the music, and we had the band.
Lord have mercy.
The band and the drummer. It was so. If you go, if you haven't heard it, or if you want to just catch it again, we have it on the YouTube channel, and the views and visitors have really been phenomenal for a channel that's only had like eight active subscribers, but people are going there. So we ask you also when you go back next time you go, just subscribe. Let's push those numbers up too. It's good to have the views, and we appreciate you. But just go ahead and let's get some subscribers in there too, so we'll be alerting you as we add new songs and new tunes. And keep you abreast of what the brothers are going to be doing over the next few months, because we are lining up some dates in the month of
Amen.
November, January. And so if you want to follow us on Facebook and on YouTube, and you'll just hang in there, be part of this family, and just catch some of this Holy Ghost we've caught on. I would say renewed down in New Hope Baptist Church on September 4th.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I needed it. I really needed it, because a lot of people are familiar with the hell that I've had to go through just dealing with people just coming out lying on me out in the world media, and influential people just lying. trying to stop me from rising in a certain organization. And so it was so much that was done to harm my spirits and my family. But God is still real, and God is good, and God has risen us up above foolishness and hatred and jealousy and envy. You know, sometimes all people have to do, Robert and Leon and Joseph, is just go on a job and do a good job. And they're stepping on people's toes and they don't even know it, because somebody somewhere with power feel like you're about to get people to like you, and they're losing control of the people that they have under their control. So if they can't control you, they try to control how people think about you. Mm-hmm. And so I was having to go through all that. And it was through the grace of God that Pastor called and just wanted us, and I want to give Pastor Michael Sweeney, you know, some dap, some high fives for calling me.
Amen.
I had no idea he was going to call me. And he called me to speak on September 4th, a day before my birthday, and on the same weekend of the Gatewood Bogan family reunion. And it caused so much of a family gathering that it connected with heaven. And so we just have to thank New Hope for opening up their doors, and that pastor, whatever God said to him, to have him to call me, and that we can make that possible for the brothers to be there. And just, we just, I think it was just glorious. It was divine. And I will never forget it. I have September 4th, 2022, written down on the calendar of my heart and my soul. And I thank God.
Can I say this? I say this, yeah. Curtis. I've noticed after that date, is some, when you do good things and you do it without any expectation of recompense, you're doing it just out of the goodness of your heart, because the Spirit is moving you, and you want to do right. Then the reciprocity kicks in, and you get rewarded. And I've watched some of the things that have happened to myself and to the brothers since that day. I've seen Curtis, his side business is just taking off, where he DJs the spiritual and gospel and good positive rap. I've seen Leon go down to Mississippi with a truckload of water, and he gets back, he gets a grant, and he was on the TV, the channel of the Black Voters Matter, a couple of days ago, and it's on the homepage of his website, holler.ws. I've had some blessings in my business, and Joseph is still over there doing well. So if you do the right thing, don't do it because you're trying to make a quick buck. Don't do it because you're trying to get fame and glory. Do it because it's in your heart. Do it because it's the right thing to do, and good things will happen.
Yeah, and I want to add to that, Robert, and I thank God for you saying that. I want to add to that, our father, Reverend Dr. Wade Hampton Gatewood, he laid down some soil, and good fruit are still coming up. And I'm not just saying for his children, but people who have love in their hearts, people who love us, people who love my father and my mother, Jenny Vigetta Gatewood, her birthday, of course, just passed September 26th. But there's some things they planted, our parents planted, through their love for us and for their community and for God, that we are just having to benefit. We are benefiting as the inheritors of their Holy Ghost Spirit, some of the love that they planted along the way. And I pray to God that we can continue as adults to continue planting a good soil in our prosperity as we go forward.
Well, I would say one more thing, that I think another reason that the brothers and have received the blessings, because I know I can speak for myself. We don't do it just for the Gatewood brothers or even the Gatewood family. And I can speak for myself, but I feel, I'm sure the other brothers, I've seen it manifest.
Absolutely.
That you're doing it for others. You're doing it for the village.
Yep.
You're doing it for the community.
Amen. Lord have mercy.
And so it's a bigger calling than just trying to blow up our name or to get
Lord
some type of fame or glory out of it. And I know I
exactly.
That's why I do it.
Exactly.
That's why we produce this show.
We've never been in the business trying to tear somebody down to build ourselves up. We don't even think about it. We're never plotting to hurt anybody. And unfortunately, people do that. People plot to tear down people sometimes that they can't control due to their insecurities or envies or whatever it might be. Or I would just say because of Satan has taken their souls, and Satan moving into someone's soul does so without regard to their line of work, whether they minister, teacher, politician, employer. The devil does not discriminate, okay? And so sometimes when the devil takes over, he can really cause damage to some good people. And had it not been for what Robert talked about earlier, us having that upbringing that we can connect to, we don't have to turn to drugs whenever we're under pressure. We don't have to turn to alcohol when we're under pressure. We don't have to talk about suicide when we're under pressure. We can look inside and know that God is there. And then we can use that to overcome and see that there's no problem bigger than God.
Amen. Amen. I have a client, and she's always talking about you have to build that faith muscle. And when you're born into it, it's almost like it's innate, it's inherited. But unfortunately, many people are not. They're born into families that are in distress.
Exactly. Some
are born in homes that have been broken
through
drugs.
Are born
abuse,
homeless.
Yep. So we have to, so the ones that have it have to find a way to share it or at least help the others find a way to build their faith muscle so that they can go out here and have a good life and a safe life, a life of giving. And when I've always told people this, and I will say this as long as I'm alive, when you find yourself under anxiety and stress and not sure which way to turn some of that goodness in you outward. When you're giving, nobody's ever been harmed or gone broke by giving. So when you start helping others, no matter how little you have, when you help others, it will come back and will come back 10 times.
Yes, sir. That is so true. That is so right. That is so much on time. And I would like to say that, too, since you said it, Robert. Everybody can help somebody, you know.
Yeah.
You have a way. God has given you a way, even whether it's you're not physically able to do walking. God has probably given you the intellect or the wisdom or the mind. If you don't think you have the wisdom or the mind, there's something physically that you can do. There's intellectually, socially. There's so many gifts God would give a person that no man can control. And if we would find a way to help somebody, it will lift up our self-esteem and realize that we're not just sitting around waiting on somebody to help us, but as we help somebody else, as Robert was saying, then it will certainly give us the confidence and the blessings that we are searching for. We are searching oftentimes.
That is so true. That is so true. So I would just tell people if you're having any type of struggles, if you're not sure where your next paycheck is going to come from, or you're having some type of anxiety or pressure, or just look at what you have. You have something.
Yep.
I don't, nobody walking around the street naked. Not in their sound mind. But you have something, and there's somebody doing worse than you are. So take that emphasis off yourself for a moment and go volunteer, go help somebody, help an old lady cross the street if nothing else, and you'll be amazed what that would do, like Curtis said, for your self-esteem. And you realize you're not as helpless as you thought you were.
Exactly. Because, Robert, I think the thing that helped me get through some of what I had to go through, Robert, you know, because, again, I don't think there's very many people on this earth who can say they are just a common person who really have been attacked by someone with national platform status and influence and take a worldwide attack on your character in a way that is false, and in a way that will try to take you out and harm your livelihood, your family, and everything else. That doesn't happen often. But I would say one of the things that I think got me through it and is continuing to take me through it, because I know the devil is not finished with me, but guess what? God is not finished with me either. But I will say one of the things that kept me through, Robert, is I cling to my little thing, stop killing us, going from mm-hmm. place to place, saying stop killing us, speaking up for mothers who are losing their sons, speaking up for people who are dying needlessly, and just still trying to do what I could to help people who are a part of those that might have the least. They're not least people. When Jesus said amongst the least of these, he's not saying you are less of a person, but you might be amongst the least that society would consider to be glamorous or good, such as homes and cars and big name and all that. So those people who are amongst the least in that context, those are the people who kept getting my attention and will continue to get my attention.
Well, that's good, because I will say that some of the things that I'm most noted for now actually gave birth during some of my toughest times. I wrote my first book, Played in Full, right after one of my, like I said, lowest moments.
Lord
and when I started the Marketing Pulpit, a radio TV show, once again, I was facing challenges, and I can withdraw and sit around and feel sorry for myself, go out here and do something unethical or illegal to try to regain lost ground, or I can take the emphasis off myself and ask, what can I do to help others? What information can I share to help others, to lift them up? And God has a strange way of turning that thing around for you. I mean, really, you really have to put your faith in somebody, something else.
He does, man. God is good. Trust me, everybody. And like I say, I say this to everybody who might have been listening, and you heard about the young lady with the book saying that God is my friend. If you're not going to read the whole Bible, read the red. Red is when Jesus is talking. And Jesus is really, he breaks it down. There is no confusion when you read the words of Jesus. Now, there might be some confusion when you go to the Old Testament and you hear from the various prophets and you hear from the various periods of time. But when Jesus comes on the scene, he comes straight telling you it's about love, it's about caring, it's not about how much you know as far as the scriptures, the Bibles, and all that. He just has basic things that you hang on all those laws. That is love and care for your neighbor and care for yourself. And, of course, care for God.
But I will say this, because sometimes people, because like I said, we don't really, this particular Brothers for Real show is not what you call a gospel show or a Christian show. It's a show about brothers speaking from the heart. And whatever you believe, whether you believe in Jesus, Allah, Buddha, or nobody at all, just know there's some redeeming about doing the right thing. And you can't go wrong. However you want to justify it, whatever you believe in, if you do right, there is a reward.
Yep.
Just know that.
Yep. And most major religions, Robert, the way you get to God is to get through loving your neighbor or the person closest to you. That's the way you get to God. Not up in the sky. Yep.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's a good point, Kurt.
Hey, man. Hey, brothers.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell y'all a little bit about the trip to Mississippi, man?
Yes, sir. Please.
Please do.
It was a long ride.
What are you waiting on?
It was a long ride. We Alex Gary and I, first of all, we were recruited by Black Brothers Matter to kind of handle the project, the transportation of the project, transportation end of the project, which meant we needed to visit Livingstone College, North Carolina A&T University, we had to visit Winston-Salem State University, and Elizabeth City State University to pick up water. Well, long story short, we did that, and we accumulated. Plus, we had a local water drive at the Holler Center where we kind of picked up, let's say, about a couple of hundred cases in Morgan, you know, of water.
Mm.
So we put that in the big pile, and it turned out we had over 1,000 cases of water.
And wait a minute, cases, not bottles?
Not bottles, but 1,000 cases of water. So you're looking at over 24,000 bottles. Really, so so we had about 25,000 bottles of water. And that's 25,000 pounds. So each bottle, each 16-ounce bottle of water weighs about a pound. So you're looking at 25,000 pounds. So it took 25,000 pounds of water, and it took two 26-foot trucks for us to make that trip without overloading the trucks. So we got about... Sir?
Who unloaded that?
Well, who loaded it is the problem.
either way, who loaded it and who unloaded it?
Well, let me give some shout-outs. We have people in Morgan, like Marlo Crawford, and we had some like brothers from right down there. You know, those guys that kind of just people call hang out on the street kind of brothers. Those guys chipped in and moved that. Because after we loaded one truck down so bad, we had to split the load up and take two trucks. So the guys from Morgan, that people called the guys on the street, came down there and spent a couple hours splitting that water from one truck, taking half of the water out of one truck, putting it into another truck. So we headed to, we left about 3 o'clock in the morning, heading down to Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi. We got about 40 miles outside of Augusta, ran into a pothole on the truck I was driving. Boom, blew the tire. I was afraid to tell anybody that I blew a tire because I knew people would be worried. People were already worried about me, so I knew exactly that what was going on, what's going on right there. So I decided not to tell anybody that happened until I had checked into my hotel room. So we got down to Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi. They checked us into the Westin Hotel down there, which was a nice place. Nice, enjoyed that. Next morning we got up, met the people over at the collection site for the water. They had men there, I mean, moving that water around, man. They were moving that water. They spent 2 hours. So we took it down there in cases. So they put it in pallets. So they had to unload it off the truck, put it on the, what you call those things with the wood. Anyway, put it on the pallet. And wrap it. Then wrap it up. Then put it in the
plastic around.
Let's go back to the colleges. Those college students... trying to tell you, it just gave me a different look on the future to see how eager they were to do what they were doing, how many of them were so eager to do what they were doing. I was just moved. It was a moving experience. I would consider doing it again. But if Florida needed it, if Florida needed it, they're in trouble down there, bro.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
They definitely don't need
it. I recently preached it from Matthew 20. I think it's chapter 22, 35 through 40, where Jesus is asking, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me drink? I know God is satisfied with your work and those who helped out. God, Jesus was looking down, smiling like, now, those are my people right there. So y'all did a great thing, man. That is so honorable.
I wish Joseph would tell how people about one of his experiences he had. Was it today, Joseph?
Say it again.
Joseph, the experience you had today, was that experience today?
When you ran across
yesterday.
Yesterday? Yesterday.
I wish you shared that experience with people.
There was a gentleman out here in my parking lot. And I looked out and I saw him. He looked like he was in a lot of distress. And I said, I wonder what has that brother so worried. I said, well, I said, if he's having a problem when I, you know, go out, he'll probably tell me. So I got up, went out to go to the post office. And he said, will you, can you take me home? I said, he said, cause my tire blown out on the car. I don't have a cell phone. I don't know how to call nobody to help me, and this is somebody else's car. He said, I can't even get to the spare. He said, I'll give you $15 if you can take me home. I said, well, I told him to get him. I gave him a mask and took him home and stopped at the service station, and then he offered me $20. I said, no, man. I said, don't worry about it. So anyway, I got him home. And then the lady came back. It was the lady's car, and she came back, and they came out there to, you know, pick the car up. Had to call. She called OnStar. She had OnStar to come fix the tire and everything. And the lady asked me, she said, what's your name? I said, my name is Joseph Gatewood. She said, your daddy a minister? I said, yes, my daddy is a minister. She said, are you Reverend Wade Gatewood's son? I said, yes. I said, I'm Reverend Wade Gatewood's son.
Yeah.
She said, you got a brother named Wade. I said, yes, I had a brother named Wade. She said, when your brother Wade moved to Charlotte, she said, he moved in with my brother. My brother gave him a place to stay. And she said his name was James Caraway. I said, yeah, I remember hearing that name. And he said, yeah, and she said, I know you, and you had another brother. I said, I remember Johnny and Jenny Evil. I mean, she went through even Clyde. She said, even Clyde stayed with us for a while.
Jesus.
And she said, my friend told me that he offered you $20 for bringing him home. He said, and you refused it. And I told her, I said, well, ma'am, I said, I just look for opportunities to help people. And but little did I know that I was helping
somebody,
the lady,
help
through
brother.
This man that actually gave my big brother Wade a place to live when he first moved to Charlotte. And she said, where is Wade? I said, Wade died in 2009. But I thought that was a spiritual experience.
It is,
and I love it.
I love it.
And I just really felt good that I was able and willing to reach out a helping hand to somebody that I thought was a complete stranger.
Trying
to find out through a vicarious, I was vicariously helping the sister of a brother that gave my brother a place to live.
Man, you were helping Jesus too, man. Because in that same scripture, he says, "When I was a stranger, you took me in."
Yeah.
So that's just y'all just living it out. That's what that is. That's what that is. God is good.
Yeah, God is good. And the thing about it is, I felt more. I felt like I was rewarded. More, I don't know how, but he had told us, the lady, about how I had helped him and had refused to take any money from him. And at the time, she didn't know who he was talking about.
Ain't that something? Jesus is Lord, have mercy.
And you have put a bow on everything we've been talking about tonight, really. That kind of wraps it up in a nice little package.
It does.
Yeah.
My goodness.
But brother, keep on living. Keep on living, right? Keep on helping. Keep on.
Keep helping. Keep helping somebody.
That's right.
Yep.
Help somebody. You're helping yourself.
Yeah. That's right. You're helping yourself. You get the reward.
You get
the reward.
That's a good way to put it. You help somebody. You're helping yourself. Lord and mercy.
That's right.
God bless you, brother. We'll come back live next week, folks. Come back. I'm going to make somebody else know what the next week. Come back.
All right, good show, brother.
Good night, brother.
Love you guys, man.
Love you, brother. That's all about me.
Yep. Thank you.